Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program, as we always do, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And that choir of angels, I'm going to introduce them in a minute. I am your guest moderator today, Lisa Lindsay, and I have with me someone you've heard before and are going to hear from again today. It's Father Andy Rosa. Do you want to say anything more about yourself?
You bet. I'm the chaplain right now at SCOTA Central Catholic in Columbus, Nebraska. I also help out there at St. Isidore, so... Life is good. It's been a few years since I've been on the radio.
Well,
it's always good to be back. It's always so fun to get back here.
It was Rome to home.
Rome to home.
How long did you do Rome to home? That's when you were studying in Rome,
3 years of Rome to home when I was studying there. Uh-huh. So it was a great opportunity and a great blessing for me. But it's a greater blessing maybe to be home. So I'll tell you what, Rome to home.
And happy to be home.
I stay at home and I'm happy at home. Yeah.
And you hear someone else back there, I think. Who is that there?
Teresa Monahan.
Teresa Monahan.
Director of the Pro-Sanctity Movement, and have known Father Andy, Andrew. Andy was part of campus ministry at the University of Nebraska of Omaha, and Andrew has been part of our friendship. We've been part of the movement in a variety of many, many different ways that you've helped and assisted. And of course, I had the opportunity to visit you there when you were still studying.
Yeah, several times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
several times. It was great. Absolutely great. And we have both. We decided, Lisa, that it would be fun to talk about the upcoming beatification of Pope John Paul II.
Wonderful. Yes.
I was there at the very beginning. And yeah. Father Andrew was there at the very end.
Yeah, powerful times.
Powerful times.
So, and I wasn't there at all, so I'm really
poor you.
Excited. I know, but I'm going to live it through the two of you, like the rest of our audience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, Father, but in my heart, there's a kind of a movement of anticipation. I'm almost there. I'm anticipating and actually in the midst of the cacophony, the chaos, as well as the great anticipation of probably a world event that will go down in history. Would you concur? I mean, just knowing your experience of Rome when big things like this happen and somebody so beloved as Pope John Paul II.
Well, those were times that, you know, when he was, you know, near his death and when he passed away, those were some of my most treasured memories from my time in Rome.
Yeah.
It was just a powerful time of grace. And so I can only imagine, I mean, I have some idea, I can imagine a little bit what it's going to be like for his beatification, and then it'll probably be even bigger when he is canonized.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an exciting time. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for the men who are there now and for the people who are there to be able to experience that. If you're traveling over there, if you are that gifted and that privileged, then praise God. It'll be powerful.
Yeah. We have one apostolic oblate who's in school there, studying Italian with our institute in Rome, Jesse Carey. Jesse's finished 5 years of vowed life with the Apostolic Oblates. And she's like at the threshold of St. Peter's, practically speaking. So she's already watching all the events, the talk, the planning, the programming, the cleaning up of Rome. Can you imagine? Well, the trying to
put in quotation marks. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, in 1978, I went to Rome to study theology and to be with the Pro Sanctity Movement and the Apostolic Oblates. Little did I know. I probably would have known, but I just didn't know anything. I knew nothing. But Pope Paul VI had died on August 6th. I left for Rome on August 7th.
Huh.
So I was there. Jeez. My very first big event in Italy, in Rome, was a funeral. Well, actually, it was a viewing and then a funeral. So I actually went to the viewing of Pope Paul VI.
Wow.
Knowing and having loved him through his writings and through Vatican II, in my little experience, I had a great affection for Pope Paul VI because he seemed to be a man who wanted so much that we would know and love Jesus and be in the midst of the world, which was in my heart, you know, just to be a light, leaven, and salt in the world. Great promotion of the laity and the growth of the church, that we would all be involved. And we call that Vatican II. And, you know, certainly he experienced that. He promoted it and lived and died for it, really, literally. So there I was, Pope Paul VI, moved on. Pope John Paul I, who was, 33, 34, 33 days. I think I saw five or six of his audiences. I lived right down the street. He was indeed a pope of great smiles, of vignettes. I understood very little Italian. It was 33. That was like the second month, third month, you know. But in October 16th of 1978, I was with a Pro Sanctity gathering, a little school of formation is what we call it, and we received the awareness that the Pope now had to be, the Pope was dead. The Pope was dead, and so thus would begin the search for a new Holy Father. The conclave, the gathering of cardinals, in those days, there wasn't as much coverage internet-wise. In fact, I didn't even use a computer in those days, so probably not the same, you know, magnitude of impact, but certainly, I mean, a tremendous impact nonetheless. So we watched all this happening. When the actual choosing of the Pope, when the cardinals were gathered and there was the voting, we were told that there would be white smoke if it was a yes and black smoke if it would be a no. They were in the Sistine Chapel and they burned this little bit of straw burning of the ballots,
With a certain type of straw that's treated to make the smoke go either white or black. And
But on a gray kind of a cloudy day, that wasn't so easy. So you would hear the crowd go, afternoon. It was something else. It was phenomenal. I called St. Peter's my parish. A lot of my Italian friends who were there, you know, lived there, of course, and they certainly were interested, but maybe didn't have quite the level of anticipation and joy and love to run down to St. Peter's every time something happens. So a little bit of, maybe a little less interest. Let's just put it that way. But I was there. In fact, when the smoke was just about ready, I mean, it was like the moment before it was announced or before we saw the smoke that was white, I was about ready to leave. It was about time for Chana, you know.
Dinner time.
And you needed to get on the bus before, you know, the craziness of the traffic there. So I was turning around and I'm walking away and I hear the bells ringing. And they rang and they rang and they rang. Mm. And the Il Papa. You could just hear the voices all over. The Pope has been chosen. The Pope has been chosen. We have a Pope. Abemus Papam. We have a Pope. So it running back, and very soon after that, maybe a couple hours later, it was night, and he comes out on the balcony there in front of St. Peter's. And as all the stories will tell you, he endeared himself immediately to the people. First, because he was also un straniero, he was a foreigner, and he said, "I know that I am different. I don't know the language real well, so feel free to correct me." Well, there was a roar of laughter, and maybe only been there like 4 months. I thought he spoke good Italian.
Yeah. That's right.
But apparently he made a mistake in that very sentence.
Oh,
you know,
right.
And he could end you there or something. I don't know what he did, but it wasn't correct. And but they loved him, and he laughed with them. He had that great sense of humility. There was never a sense of, you know, I'm the Pope and you better do what I say and don't even dare to, you know, contradict me. No, show me, tell me. And from the first days, our Holy Father took upon himself to know the people. He would go into the streets. One of my members lived and worked right near there and actually was his economo. Meaning that she helped, I always tease her, she helped to buy the toilet paper. Her name is Gemma.
Man.
She
somebody
by,
had to do it. Somebody had to do it.
And she ordered it, and, you know, all, among many other things. But she actually bought the toilet paper. But she said she would, the Pope Paul VI was always, you always knew where he was. You knew what he was doing. Very cordial, gentle, kind man. But he was methodical and timely. I mean, according to the schedule, that's where he'd be. But not Pope John Paul II. Not by any means. Not by any means. So to make a long story short, he was everywhere, and anywhere he went, there would be crowds. So I would meet him, literally, in the streets of Rome. I remember when he went to see the San Egidio community down there in Trastevere. I'm just walking along and, oh, hello, Holy Father.
No.
Having a stroll out? No, just had a meeting. No, he didn't say all the way. But it seemed like that because I just waved to him and he waved back. Many times that happened.
Really?
Many times that happened. So anywhere he went, he caused a great fervor of people. There would be, you know, people would come from all over to join him, to watch him. There weren't a whole lot of rules and regulations about the security.
Yeah,
so you
sure.
could get really close.
Yeah.
We used to go over the literally jump over the barricades, and nobody would stop us. So we could get up to the front of the plaza when he was doing his, when he had his audiences, because he would be the last one out of the plaza.
Wow.
He had to greet everybody. He had to talk to everybody. His desire was to look you in the eyes, and literally, literally, he did.
And when that was in those first days.
Those were all in the first days, but it stayed true all the way to the end.
Oh.
So in the end, when it came to, you know, his dying, can you say a few words about that? I was in and out of Rome, just visiting, but I wasn't living there at that time.
Yeah,
what was that
well,
like?
Things had changed for him insofar as he couldn't just stroll around anymore mm-hmm. in those last few years. You were there for his first mm-hmm. 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for his last 2.5 years,
yeah.
basically,
exactly.
last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that dynamic had changed. Now, what was interesting a little bit about his death, you know, Lisa, you had said that, well, I'm jealous, or almost, like, I want to live this through you.
Yes.
But what I found really remarkable is that, you know, in the 27 years that he had been Pope, so much had changed. Communications had changed, TV, internet, all those things. And when I came home, you know, the Pope died about the end of my second year. So I came back to the United States for the first time a couple months after his passing. Mm-hmm. And I would get into conversations with people, and they would say, oh, you were in Rome. And then they would ask, how was it? And I'd talk for about a minute or so. And then they'd cut me off. And they would need to talk about their own experience.
Yes. Yes.
Of you know, mm-hmm. where I was and how people treated me and what people said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what was very powerful about that for me is that sometimes they had more powerful experiences than I
actually
had.
Living there.
And they'd been watching it on TV.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and I tell you, sometimes there were times during that period where people who were watching it on TV were closer to it than me. For example, when the Holy Father dies, or when the Holy Father passes away, they toll the large bell of St. Peter's.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that evening, it was like 9:30, 9:40 when he passed away. I was on a family phone call. And we had those once a month.
Mm-hmm.
They were very important to us. I had just gotten back from a trip to India for 2 weeks, so we had a lot of catching up to do. And I'm on the phone with my family, and I begin to hear the large bell out of my window. I can hear it out my window. And I'm talking on the phone with my family, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's on TV.
So they know exactly what's going on.
And I'm sitting here like, I just like, is that the bell guys? Like, did the Pope just die?
Wow.
Yes. And they're like, well, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then my blessed, holy, awesome mother, you know, she's like, I think she wanted me to talk about my trip before I you know, it's kind of like, guys, I gotta go.
Like, this is
important. And they're like, you gotta tell us about your trip. So I did. I talked about the trip and, you know, family's important.
That's right.
Yes. And so I did. And it was kind of killing me a little bit.
Well,
anyway, so, but it was good. So then I get off the phone, I run down. I think my older brother, he's also in Formation for Religious Life, and he's like, Andy, just go. you got to get out of here. And so I did. I ran down to the square, and it was so powerful. You know, they prayed a rosary after they announced that he had passed away. The bell tolled, and there was a rosary being prayed in the square. And it's one of the most vivid memories I have from my 5 years in Rome, is arriving in the square. And it was packed, and it was quiet. There were a lot of people who had candles. Everything was very makeshift, mm-hmm. just thrown together. There was nothing formal about it. But it was as though the piazza were transformed into a church. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple hundred thousand people, how many ever there were, just really praying and recognizing the gravity of the moment, and in mm-hmm. a certain sense, the beauty of the moment too.
Yeah.
And normally when you're in that piazza, there are people taking pictures. There's all this other stuff going on. Even if you're there for a mass, it's too hot or it's too cold or there's all kinds of things that are going on that distract you. It's so hard to have a deep spiritual experience in the piazza. It's mm-hmm. ironic, but that was mm-hmm. my experience in 5 years.
Too.
But
mm-hmm.
that night was like nothing else I've ever seen. And then, you know, after the rosary ended and then the formal things, just walking around the square and just watching, you know, all these different groups of people, all these makeshift sort of memorials were going mm-hmm. up, and candles being mm-hmm. placed on the light poles, and mm-hmm. pictures being set down, and people singing songs. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really tender environment. Mm-hmm. A beautiful, beautiful environment. I'll never forget it. And I just walked around and took it in. And, you know, it was an amazing night, powerful night. And I realized later on, as I got back to the seminary, I walked back, and I realized, like, man, I didn't even mourn the Pope. I was so amazed by everything that had gone on and just all that I was seeing, the faith and that I didn't even take time to think about what was really happening. Mm-hmm. I was so caught up in the spectacle of it.
Was there any particular thing that happened that at that time, or something that stood out to you at all? Something that somebody may have said,
for
or
me,
what you saw?
For me, the most, I think, noteworthy experience was the next day. Mm. You know, it was Sunday. You know, he died on a Saturday night, the mm-hmm. Vigil of the Divine Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the next morning, I went down to the square. And I think they had a mass down there. And then afterwards, there were just people around. And they had his window open. Mm-hmm. You know, just a week before, he had stood at that window and he had tried to bless people, you know, and just been there and just mm-hmm. kind of poured himself out.
Yes, he did.
And as I looked up at that window, and I just thought, man, for 27 years, mm-hmm. that guy came, you know, this man came to that window. And in a certain sense, you can say he owned this space.
Yeah, yeah.
He owned the mm-hmm. square, mm-hmm. and people came to see him. Mm-hmm. And as I looked at that window, that just mm-hmm. it just hit me, and that really, really struck me, in a powerful way. Yeah. So, that's just the beginning. That's just the
Isn't
beginning.
Isn't that just the beginning?
It's just the beginning.
Oh,
because
my goodness.
You know, shortly after that, the period of mourning begins, and people begin pouring in from all over. Just hundreds of thousands, mm-hmm. millions of people begin just making their way in. And the faith that was shown during that period is something that I will take with me forever. Mm-hmm. One memory that I have, you know, they have the visitation mm-hmm. of the Pope. You can walk in mm-hmm. and you can see him. And people waited for hours and hours and hours. Outside.
24, 27 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So we as seminarians had certain privileges.
Yes, they did.
So we kind of used our little NAC card, you know, the North American College card. And I waited for about a total of a half hour. And I went and I was able to see the Holy Father.
Oh.
And what was so awesome was right after seeing him, I decided, look, all these other people in line, they've been waiting 16, 20, 24 hours. They've been standing most of the time. It's been hot. It's been cold. I just watched them as they walked out of the church. Mm-hmm. And the peace that they displayed, I just thought, gosh, you know, you would think that these people would be exhausted, that they'd be. No, it was absolutely the opposite. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, mm-hmm. like a last gift. And then I think that evening after I saw him, I met a couple. Actually, they were staying at the Pro Sanctity mm-hmm. house in Rome. Mm-hmm. And whoever you are, if you're out there listening, God bless you. You inspire me to this day. But they were on their honeymoon.
Oh, James and Veronica Seeberger. They're I was just going to tell their story. So I'm glad and you met them.
Okay,
right.
So Veronica has a broken leg.
Yeah. They've just been married.
They just married. Mm-hmm. They fly over. First thing they do, they get their bags unpacked, they go, and they get in line. So she's standing there with a broken leg, and they stand for 16 hours, jet-lagged.
16? With a broken leg.
The entire time, broken leg, jet-lagged, the whole thing.
It's swelling as she stands there.
Yes.
16 hours.
I meet them, I think, for dinner later that night, and they're telling their story, and I was ashamed of myself. I waited for a half hour, and I'm healthy, not jet-lagged. But that was happening, mm-hmm. you know, that's just one story out of probably a million. Yeah,
it's a beautiful story.
Yeah. And, you know, the weather, I mean, so many things came together. The weather was great the whole time. It was just really a
blessed
time.
Just going back to Veronica and James, their first child, guess what the name of their first child is?
Maybe John Paul.
John Paul. And it is, exactly. Lots and lots of John Pauls we've seen.
That's right.
Well, we're coming to the end of this particular show, but we're going to talk about this again. So stay tuned to the next show. We're going to continue to talk about it. But tomorrow, make sure you get in on all that will be going on at the beatification. I'm sure, like you said, with all the communications, there'll be plenty of things like tomorrow and EWTN, especially, you know, mm-hmm. and the Catholic radio here, KVSS. I'm sure there'll be all kinds of information. And also then stay tuned again for next week. We're going to talk about this further. Okay. So thank you so much, Father Andy and Teresa. And is there any housekeeping that we have? Anything that we need to talk about for Pro Sanctity?
Pro Sanctity, just go to our website because Camp Fun and Faith is up for registrations now. So please go to the site and our convention this summer.
July 29th through the 31st, our Love is Fire National Pro Sanctity Convention.
Please join us.
And also the visit information talks with Cardinal Lorenzi is coming into town. Very big deal. Mm-hmm. September 20th through the 23rd, the Universal Call to Holiness and Light of Familiaris Consortio. Okay, and so as we said, if you want to find out any more information, you're going to go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. And finally, let's close with a prayer. And this prayer is an excerpt from the Pro Sanctity prayer.
And then if Father Andrew can
bless
us with a blessing.
Always
after
have
that.
The blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Divine Master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. And a blessing, please, Father.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Right. Auguri. Tanti auguri.
Grazie.
I don't know if he remembers his Italian.
A little bit.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.